Hello, everybody. Dwayne McCachran here with the Community From Within podcast, driving home as usual. And today it is, September 18th, Wednesday, September 18th. September is flying by. I cannot believe we're this far along in September. Still feels like July today. Today I'm listening, one of my colleagues listens to the radio at work, and at one point the news came on and sports, and they were talking about baseball. I can't remember, Chicago Cubs or something, and blah blah blah, something about the race for the pennant, for they're getting ready for the playoffs soon or something. There's only so many games left, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, when did the preseason end and when did the regular season start? Last thing I remember about baseball was hearing something in the preseason, and so it's just like, wow, summer just in the blink of an eye has gone by. And as you can tell, I'm not I don't watch baseball, I don't follow baseball, but I could not believe it that we're that far along. It just really hit me there. Here I am thinking it's preseason. Still preseason baseball, really. It's preseason hockey, I think. Oh my goodness. Started yesterday or the day before with trying to get off the sugar. Doing okay. Driving to work this morning, I needed to stop and get a coffee. I went through the drive-thru at Tim Hortons. I know. And I get my coffee, and they asked if I wanted to support whatever, I can't remember the name of the charity, by buying a Smiley Day cookie. And I didn't even hesitate or think about it. I said, sure, give me one. So I got a Smiley Day cookie, and I ate it with my coffee when I got to work. And, obviously, cookie's delicious, wonderful, and glad they support charities and stuff. But I just felt like, and this is not against the cookie or Tim Hortons, I'm saying, but I felt like garbage the rest of the day for eating basically sugar for breakfast. Ugh. But that's the unfortunate part of, if you let your guard down, I don't know how I'm trying to say this. It's sort of like, I didn't think about it. I didn't hesitate to just, I'll have one. I'll have that sugar. Huh. It's making me sick right now just thinking about it. Anyway. Other than the cookie, of course, I'm fine. But still, unwanted sugar, and every little bit, can't remember how much I went into this in the past, but I think we know now, whatever you're eating on a regular basis, your biome, your gut biome, the bacteria, the organisms that live in your stomach and break down the food, they get used to that, they want more of it. And sugar is one of those things that, if you develop a bunch of bacteria in your gut biome that want sugar, that's where your cravings are actually coming from. It's kind of interesting, you could almost open a philosophical debate about who's controlling who there. But it really does seem like, if you get a craving for sugar, you want sugar really badly. It's your gut biome that wants it. It's not even you. It's controlling you. So, in order to defeat that, you have to go without. You have to basically, if you stop eating sugar for a long enough period of time and you eat healthy foods, the bacteria that the organisms that depend on the sugar, they'll die off eventually, and you'll eventually lose those cravings. To a certain degree, I'm sure. There's probably other links and psychological links to, certain things. Like if you have, let's say if you had a cookie with your coffee every morning, you stop eating the cookies, but you still have the coffee every morning, you might have a psychological link to the, missing that part. sort of like people quitting smoking. If they always, you know, when they have this coffee, they go out for a cigarette. If you keep drinking coffee when you quit smoking, it's going to make quitting smoking that much more difficult because you have a psychological link to the coffee by having a cigarette. So, my point is, sure, in the last 3 days, really what I have is, you know, as far as added sugar or a sugar, not unnatural sugar, I guess. What am I trying to say? Other than fruit or, you know, other foods that naturally have sugar in them, the only thing I've had is a cookie. But what I've done is I've prolonged, you know, that I've prolonged the lifespan of the sugar addicted and sugar dependent gut biome. So I'm basically back to square one today. I have to start all over again and quit the sugar. So, yeah. I still feel like garbage, basically, from this morning, from eating that. Like, it really put me off. I had nothing against Tim's or the cookie itself. It was delicious, and I loved it. That's the problem. Opening up one of my fake beers. I got a Klosthaler original, non-alcoholic, to enjoy here on the way home. Oh, that's delicious. So, you know what's odd? Not odd for me. I knew exactly what I wanted to talk about when I pressed record earlier, and now I've gone off on this tangent talking about the sugar thing, and I can't remember what the heck I wanted to talk about today. So let's see if I can get myself back on track. So yeah, it's today's Wednesday. Usually I find out on Wednesdays, or at least by Thursday at the latest, if there's a spot for me in the Mabu Farmers Market for Good Boy dog treats. Go to goodboy.ca, goodboy.ca, to find out where you can buy spent grain dog treats for your good boys and good girls, your doggos. But I found out yesterday, early enough, on Tuesday, found out that there is a spot this coming weekend. So that's fantastic. Really happy about that. So I'll have to do some baking and... Also really happy, I'm at work today and a fellow I work with came up to me. He said he bought some dog treats at Wayne's Variety at the store in Jiddick. Gave them to his dog. He said the bag lasted 3 days. He was mad at me because the dog liked them so much. So, that's great. And this past Sunday, of course, a lot of people coming up, repeat customers, telling me how much they loved it, how much their dogs loved it. And, yeah, so really happy about the positive feedback on Good Boy dog treats. A few more requests for different flavors, like the sweet potato or pumpkin. I'd like to do that. Last week was a no-no with the power being out. It was a terrible week, and the fact that I made the market at all on Sunday was a miracle in some ways. But this week, if I get some other things done, maybe I'll try something else besides the peanut butter flavor. We'll see. Take it one step at a time. I've also been really trying to decide how to proceed for next year with the farmers market. The way the And don't quote me on this. If you go to the, I think, mabufarmersmarket.ca, there might be something in there in the vendor application. I'm not sure. But the way it works is this. If you're a primary producer, in other words, you're a farmer, you grow vegetables, or you produce meat, something like you're a primary producer, primary level, you're basically almost guaranteed a spot at the market. But if you're a secondary producer or a craftsperson, you're not necessarily guaranteed, number one. Number two, if you're a part of the market and you want a spot for the following year, you have to attend be a vendor at least 15 markets, not consecutive, but you have to attend at least 15 of the markets in a given year in order to attend the following year. And by the time I applied this year to start doing this, I don't know if there was even 15 markets left in the season, so I don't think it was going to happen for me either way. So for next year, I've been trying to decide how am I going to proceed with this. Of course, I'm going to apply and hope to get in for as many markets as I think I can do. But I've been trying to think about, should I consider also applying with other products, including primary goods? But I'm not sure if that's something I want to do or not. Except, possibly, I'll have to do some more research on this, see what the rules are and all this stuff, but we're thinking about eggs, chicken eggs. Because we keep chickens, we've kept chickens ourselves for many years for our own eggs, and we got a lot more hens this year. I think by next month at some point, we're going to have somewhere in the range of 30 hens, roughly, that should be laying on a regular basis. So, but I don't know if that's enough. I don't think that's enough to say I'm going to start supplying eggs and selling them at a market. I don't know if that's enough. I don't want to. The only reason I'm saying that is I don't think there's that many other vendors selling eggs. There might be one, maybe two others that I know of for sure. But it's not their primary thing. There's a lot of other people selling vegetables, things like that. So I really don't want to get into selling something that somebody else is doing. I don't think I want to do that at all. But on the egg side of things, I love chickens. I'd love to get into selling eggs at some point anyway. I have a great name. I have a great idea for a company name or farm name and logo and all that stuff, which I may disclose in the future if I get to that point. Yeah, so that's that. I also want to expand the Good Boy product line. I think I've talked about the cat treats, trying them out. I may try that for this week as well. A friend of mine had an idea for fetch toys for you throw for a dog to fetch, play fetch. I may investigate that. I've done some leashes, some dog leashes. Sold a leash this past market. Very happy about that. And also seen something else online about a story about an innovative young man in Brazil who makes dog beds and cat beds, like pet beds, out of old tires. He takes a tire, cuts out one sidewall, fills it with like kind of foam or something, makes a little mattress out of it with some nice material and a pillow, and the tire is painted, cleaned up and painted, very like bright colors. And he had he had 40 of them out in display, and he's selling them, and people are buying them. What a brilliant idea, because people usually generally discard tires. If you're creating something out of tires, they're free basically. You can get them at garages and service stations. And I may have mentioned in the past, my father has an automotive repair shop, and there's a huge pile of tires at my disposal. So, I may, just as an experiment, when I get a free minute, put that in my schedule for 2024, I may try to make a couple dog beds, and I'll see about, what the potential market is for something like that around here. Obviously, I'm not competing with the gentleman from Brazil, because he's in Brazil and I'm in Nova Scotia. But I thought it was a brilliant idea. Smart young man to do that. It's cool. You just Google things to do with old tires. There's so many awesome ideas people have out there. And this one I thought was ingenious, actually. There's other people doing similar or different things as well in other places, but his idea looked pretty cool. it hasn't come back to me yet, what I wanted to, I started thinking, so after work, I had to pick up a couple things at a grocery store and somewhere else, and I walked back to the car, and I wasn't planning again to record anything today, and then I had this fleeting thought go through my head, like, oh, that's a great idea, I could talk about that, and I sat down, I started recording, and I talked about the sugar stuff. And then by the time I get to the end of that, I can't remember what the heck I wanted to talk about again. But I know, so the thoughts are going through my head of what to think about. I was thinking about, you know, I'd mentioned in the past about along the lines of economic development, the principles of economic development. One of them is, you know, in essence, living within your own means. I guess this is where I was going. I'm trying to talk myself back through it. Living within in your own means, okay. And how, yeah, so I think this is where I was going. It feels along the right track. Yeah, so in buying that cookie today, okay, it's not just about the sugar. Not just about the sugar. Great to support the charity and all, but I'm not, you know, I'm not flush with cash. I'm in debt. I owe money. We have a loan on our, you know, we owe money in the house, on the truck. We have a loan. I have a credit card. I still have my federal student loan. So when I owe money like this, what right do I have to be buying a cookie? That's part of the fleeting thought I had. And it's like, you know, about, you know, improving my own situation, trying to save money, trying to find ways to make money. Buying cookies is not a good idea. One could also argue buying this fake beer, same idea, not a good idea, because that's $3 something today, that's in essence gone down the tubes. I don't know where I'm going with this. Am I going to try and rationalize one over the other? That's what I feel like doing. I want to say that the sugar is bad for you, therefore I should not have bought a cookie. But the non-alcoholic beer is something I really enjoy, and it acts as a, not a, is it a placebo? Like, it satisfies my addiction to alcohol in the sense that I feel like I can enjoy a beer, but I'm not drinking alcohol. I don't know if any of this makes any sense. And this is, yeah, there was part of that. There was something there that had to do with my original thought, but it's still gone. It's still gone. That's what sugar does to you. It messes with your memory. I'm serious about that. Sugar is bad. Don't eat sugar. Sunday last, it was Sunday or Saturday, I bought a pack of oatmeal cookies, and I ate the whole package between Saturday and Sunday. Oh my goodness. Okay. I was thinking about that stuff, and then the other thought came in my head, and that's what I went with. I was thinking about living within your means stuff as an idea, and I decided not to get into that, and I wanted to talk about something else. Because in a previous podcast, I talked about the idea of, there's a website called Fiverr. How is Fiverr spelled? F-I-V-E-R-R. F-I-V-E-R-R. So I talked about Fiverr, and I talked about maybe someday I would set up a Fiverr account just to go through the exercise and see what that was all about. And so I did that recently. I signed up for a Fiverr account. Fiverr is this thing where it's basically, you know, let's say you enjoy designing logos for companies. You sign up, you say, I design logos for companies. And you say, you know, you'll design a logo for somebody for $5 or $20 or $1,000, whatever it is. You give it a bunch of options. You say, you know, I'll give you up to 3 or 10, you know, designs or templates within 2 days or 3 days, or and you can. There's all these different options and how much it costs. And the high, you can even give a stepped rating. Like for $25, you can get this. For $50, you get this. For $1,000, you get this. Whatever it is, you set all the prices. You set all the options. And if a person agrees, and you, if you live up to it, then they pay you, and you know that's how it works. It's all managed through the website, I guess, through how the payments work. So I just wanted to set this up and try it as a way to just to see how it would work for this. But I don't know enough about it, and obviously it's something like this. I guess you know, there's probably so many users out there with the same sort of things. I don't know how else you. I'm still learning. I don't know what you're supposed to do to promote it and stuff, but. But what the point I wanted to get to and to talk about was, I have gotten several messages since I opened the account in the last, was it 2 weeks ago or something. I opened the account, since then I've gotten several messages. But, and here's the but. Every single message I've received have been from people. All of them with what I can only assume are looks like a Chinese sounding name. Like this one is from Zhang Guo today, and they all have the same sort of pitch, and it's all about this and that, blah blah blah. We'd like to work with you, collaborate in this, and we'd like to discuss further. We'd like to, you know, we could pay you. And sometimes it's ridiculous. It's like, I think the most expensive thing I offered was $50. It's from $25 to $50 to design logos. And they're offering $2,000 a week and blah, blah, blah. So what is it? It's spam. It's like those emails from the Nigerian prince. Every single message I've gotten. And just for the heck of it, I responded to one of them. And just with a plain, you know... Hi, what I design logos, what kind of logo do you like design? And they, next thing you know, they block you or they delete their account or something. They're not there anymore. You can't even respond anymore after that. So that's been my experience with Fiverr so far. I'm not sure what this sort of phishing, this is what they call phishing, P-H-I-S-I-N-G. So like email phishing scams, or trying to get someone who's gullible. And, you know, obviously somebody who's gullible looking for money, and they're trying to offer some kind of, you know, some way of getting you hooked, so that eventually what's going to happen probably is they're going to get access to your bank account information outside of the website. That's what they're trying to do. They'll say, oh, we'll deposit money, send us a void check or something. They'll figure out with the information they have how to get your personal information. So, I'll have to do some more research and look into Fiverr a little bit more and see what you have to do. I would love to just get one little hit on something and try it out and go through that process. But for now, I suppose the worst case, I could always sign up a separate account as a buyer. Pay myself to build a logo, so I know from both sides how it looks, and even as a seller, how it looks when the process goes through. For the purpose of this web, for this podcast, but yeah, we'll have to wait and see how that goes. But just be warned: if you do set up a Fiverr account, that's something to look for. If you get some people emailing you with some unrealistic propositions that are outside your actual, you know, stated offerings, it could be nefarious. Nefarious people up to, you know, nefarious purposes. And also, if you do set up a Fiverr account, check it every day, because, or a couple times a day, or if you should get an email when somebody sends you a message. Make sure that you respond right away, because if you don't respond, then it really messes up, because it says right on your account your response time. One of these phishing people emailed me, or sent me a message in Fiverr. I didn't respond for 17 hours because I didn't see it. I didn't notice it. And now that's what it says in my profile. Dwayne's average response time is 17 hours. Because that was the only active message. Thanks a lot. It's just for some idiot out there being a dipshit. Oops. Sorry for my language. I'll have to bleep that out. I wonder sometimes when I started this podcast, knowing I would be talking about politics and political opinions, things like that, that perhaps I should have just let it be no holds barred kind of thing, but I said I would do this cleanly without cursing and swearing. Should be able to do that. It's been a gray day, but the sun is supposed to come out and be with us for another few days, and hopefully it gets a little warmer, because this time of year it's kind of chilly. We talked about almost starting the fire this morning. We are just, you know, praying that this fall is not like last year. Last year, we had to start burning wood in October, and it didn't stop until, you know, what, May? Huh. But as I said, you know, with all the, what I made a joke about all the free time, that's one of the things I haven't finished yet doing is our wood. Living within your means, I mean, as a theme, that can be something that goes on and on throughout this podcast. And I think I've talked a little bit about it in the past, but, you know, my wife and I try to grow as much of our own food as possible. We have gardens, we keep chickens and pigs. We've never done it specifically for the purpose of selling either meat or vegetables to anybody. We've, you know, given stuff as gifts and traded with friends. That's about as far as it usually goes. If you live in a rural area, and depending, some municipalities have different bylaws that prohibit certain things, but if you're allowed to keep chickens, you should look into it. It's very rewarding to have a small flock of hens. If you're allowed a rooster, I recommend it as well. They're wonderful, some of them. But to keep chickens and get fresh eggs every day is absolutely wonderful. And that's how we got started with it. We started with getting a few chickens for eggs, and then later on we moved on to chickens for meat, and then we got pigs for meat, and then, you know, in the beginning, you know, it's like you bring them somewhere to get processed for you when it's time to butcher. or somebody comes and helps you or does it for you. But now I'm at the point where I can do that all pretty much by myself if I need to. And it's not, how am I trying to say this? I don't want to say it's not pleasant. It sounds like it's unpleasant. And I also don't want to make it sound like I thoroughly enjoy killing animals. I don't. But when it's your own food, when it's for your own food, you know what's happening. You know why you're doing it. You know you've raised the animal in a good way. They've had a good life. You cared for them. And it comes to that time, then you can feel very, very comfortable throughout that entire process. That's a good way to put it. I don't know if I told this story or not. When I was a little kid, I used to snare rabbits. As many people do. There's a path between my parents' place and my grandparents' place, and I used to... Did I talk about this before? I feel like I've talked about this before, so I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself. It's a podcast with me just talking in my car on the way home. As the episodes go on and on, I'm sure I'll repeat myself many times, so sorry about that. But anyway, I had this big wooden sleigh. I think I talked about this. But I've told this story to so many people, I don't know if it was on the podcast or not. I had this big wooden sleigh with a big rack on it. And I'd pick the rabbits up and hang them on the rack. And one day, so the next part, this is going to be explicit. So don't want to hear about this stuff. Skip ahead or don't listen. I came across a poor little rabbit who had a foot caught in a snare. It was not dead, it was still alive. And it was a horrific sound. He was crying. I felt terrible, but of course, I had to kill the rabbit. I remember saying to himself, I hope I never have to do that again. See, with the snare, I was comfortable. It was wintertime. They would choke and die in the snare and then freeze. Because it's wintertime when you do this in the snow. So when I would snare rabbits, I would come to the rabbits. They're all already dead. And just pick them up and go. And then take them and sell them. And, you know, I didn't have to experience that death part of it. The very next snare I come to, it's the same thing. There's a rabbit still alive, and I had to kill it again. And I took down all my snares that day, and I never snared rabbits again. Still alive. And so many, many, many years went by. I was a kid. I was, what, 10 years old, 12 years old when that happened? 8 years old, I remember. I was very young. And so it wasn't until I was in my late 30s when we had pigs. We had a pig and two other people had pigs. And somebody came to help with the butchering that day. And I was, even up that morning, asking myself, how are you going to handle this, Dwayne? How are you going to handle this? And the entire process, I was very, very comfortable. Because I knew this was, you know, this was different. And this was, you know, the pigs were raised well. It was a quick, instant death for the animal. And it was for food for me and my family. And so, that was a different scenario than snaring rabbits as a kid or selling them. And then as time went on, I got to the point where I would, you know, I would do some chickens. Remember, we had some beautiful chickens one year. We got a whole bunch. Somebody hatched them for us. But, of course, when you do that, you don't know what are hens and what are roosters. We ended up with 5 or 6 extra roosters. We wanted to keep one. And we had 5 or 6 extras. And the thought of processing them, in other words, killing and plucking and gutting them and butchering them and putting them in the freezer, kind of terrified me. I didn't know if I... You know, I knew I could do it if I had to, but it's just I didn't know what to do, what the process was, or how to go about it. So it wasn't until later when I watched somebody do it, and I watched some YouTubes, looked at some books about it, about the process, that I actually went through it and I did it, and I've done that. Like those five or six roots, we found somebody who said they'd take them. They took them. Of course, that's what they did with them, of course. They probably ate them and enjoyed them. We could have done that, but we didn't. So this weekend, I have to process several birds. I think there's like probably close to 20 or 25 chickens and roosters. Chickens, hens, and roosters. That will be processed. Put it in the freezer. Ever interested in keeping chickens, there's so much information out there. It's wonderful. And chickens are very rewarding. You just have a small flock. Like, it's funny, like some chickens, they totally have their own personalities. They're hilarious. We used to have one friend of ours, funny enough, I think it's the only chicken we've ever lost. In the sense that we don't know whatever happened to it or where it went. We had an animal, a fisher, we believe, which is like a big, big ferret or a mink. We had a fisher got into our chicken coop one time and killed all our chickens and a rooster. That was like 12 birds gone. But this one is called a Houdan. It's kind of like a Polish chicken with the big frilly feathers on the head. Beautiful little bird, but what a funny little bird it was. It was smaller than the other birds, but it always kind of went off on its own, so I think something must have got it. But we looked around anyway, didn't see feathers, nothing. I don't know whatever happened to that bird. But then one other chicken we had one time was getting pecked on by the other birds, because you ever heard of the pecking order? You ever heard that phrase before? It literally comes from hens that peck on each other, because they establish a pecking order. And this poor hen was probably at the bottom of the pecking order or something, and it was getting pecked on, and actually got injured on its head. So we took it, we kept it aside. Our flock was far away from the house, but we, at the time, took this one hen, we made a little cage for it right by the house. We'd take care of it every day, pick it up and look at it, this and that. And actually, after a little while, the hen would start coming to us, and I could pick it up and put it on my shoulder. And even after it healed, we put it back with the other hens, and we figured out how to get the other hens to stop pecking it. And it would still always, we'd seen us coming, it would come and run to us, and you know, sometimes we'd bring it little treats. We always referred to that one as our chicken. That was a good bird. I just realized my brakes are squeaking sometimes when I put the brake pedal on, so hopefully that's not coming through the microphone too loudly. I hope when I listen to these that the microphone is still working and not getting a lot of noise, because this is a new mic. Sorry for the brake noise. Oh, gotta look at the brakes on this thing. Chickens are wonderful. We have several breeds on the go now. Someday, my ultimate goal with the chickens, I would love to establish a new breed of a dual-purpose meat and egg bird. And I have a couple of breeds that I want to look into crossing. See what I can make of them. We have some what's called barred rocks, we have speckled Sussex, we have Australorps, black Australorps and lavender Australorps, we have Americanas, we have buff Orpingtons, and is that it? Oh, we have some what we call barnyard mixes, just some have a couple eggs in that bunch that were what's called Bielefelder, German breed. I'll have to look at those, see if any of them are growing up. There's one that's a brown bird. I can't tell if it's a Bielefelder or a Sussex right now. Still too young, I think. When the Bielefelders are really, like, day-old chicks, you can tell right away. I don't remember. I never really looked, to be honest with you, at the beginning, if any were actually Bielefelders or not. What else was I going to say? Yeah, so they're pretty cool. Chickens are cool. I like chickens. And if you had the opportunity, I mean, people who keep chickens, generally speaking, people I know, my friends and I, you know, always willing to share advice or help out some way they can. Someone who wants to get into this stuff. Generally speaking, sure there's exceptions, but generally speaking, people who are into this sort of thing, whether it's into chickens or just into self-sufficiency or homesteading, that sort of thing, usually generally very supportive of someone who's into that idea. And there's, you know, Facebook groups, you can go and ask questions, and lots of information out there, lots of websites, YouTube videos, great books. When you keep chickens, and especially, you know, they have room to run around, get, you know, lots of grass and bugs and stuff to eat. In the summertime, especially, the yolk of the egg goes from yellow to a bright red orange. And my goodness, are they ever tasty. Because they're getting a lot of extra protein. That's why. You can tell. You can tell the difference so strikingly between a free range egg and an egg that's been raised in a cage somewhere. So, yeah. We got to the point where we think an egg yolk should be yellow naturally, like a pale yellow color. And that is absolutely not what an egg is supposed to look like. An egg should be orange, bright orange, if not almost reddish. That's what an egg yolk should be for a chicken, for a healthy chicken. So there. I think I've been talking long enough, considering I didn't know what I was going to talk about today. Yeah, the fiver thing was the idea I wanted to talk about. How I got off on the other tangent altogether, I have no idea. So, that's it. Looking forward to getting a few things done around the house this week and baking lots of dog treats for the Mabu Farmers Market. Go to goodboy.ca to see where you can get Good Boy dog treats. And go to communityfromwithin.com. Use the contact form. Send me any questions or comments that you have. And check out all the other podcasts there. They're also available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Google Play. Thank you for listening, everybody. Have a great day and have a great week. Cheers.